Good morning, church. It is great to see everybody here this morning. It is that time of the year, a time of the year when we celebrate many different accomplishments, not just graduating high school, but also the accomplishments of others who were in different schooling, whether that be in college or their master's. If you graduate, we may have some graduates of university or maybe even their master's. If you would stand just for a moment, if you graduated recently, I know we've got one at least. Craig, are you the only one? Hey, let's give Craig a round of applause. Craig has become famous overnight. He was the last person called at Lipscomb University's graduation yesterday, and upon coming off the stage, he pulled out a Predators yellow towel and swung it all the way back to his seat. Now, I heard that maybe he wasn't planning on swinging it that long, but so many people were applauding, he just kept swinging it. And from what I understand, that's on Twitter and has gone viral, and you'll be tithing all your income from that to the church. And okay, all right. Just recently, sitting over here with Josh Maxwell, and Josh, he pulls out the little program of the graduates, and he says, "Are there typos in here? Because these kids cannot be graduating." It's crazy to think about. This is my 15th senior service, which means that most of these young men and women were 3 years old when I was the youth minister here, which is just kind of crazy to think about. And as I think about all the teens that have gone since, over the last 15 years, the thing that has held many of those teens to their faith has been their heart. Now, there are influences that come in from the left and right, and there are influences in this world that tend to pull us away from God. For in fact, we are longing to be with Him. We are in need to be in communion with God. And it is Satan's task to pull us into a different direction. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to take just a few minutes and focus on the heart. And as I really have crafted this message more towards seniors, man, I am preaching to myself. And as I prepared this, I can't tell you how convicted I was as I dwelt on the things I'm going to share this morning. And so this is not just a message for the seniors, but a message for us all. It is a heart check, kind of like that of a gut check in a way. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it says this: Do not look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees, for man sees what is visible. Man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. Now, of course, in this instance, we're talking about David. And when the people of Israel needed a king, the Lord said, don't focus on outward appearance, but look at the man's heart. Look at his heart. We tend to place way too much emphasis on externals, on the way that we look, on where we live, where we work. Because God focuses on the heart. God examines deep within a man, and He focuses on the heart. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, or actually go to this next verse here, looks at the heart. In Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it is the source of life." That's the NIV. I kind of like the NLT a little bit better. Go ahead and go to that next one. Next one. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. In 1 Peter, it says that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan is, he wants to come after our hearts. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to help our graduates and us as adults to think about the heart for a few minutes. Think about things that cloud the heart, that pull our heart away from the Lord. We're going to look at four different things. The first thing is success. We need to guard our hearts. I have no doubt at all that among these graduates, we are going to have some very successful people. No doubt at all. But success tends to crowd the heart. It tends to crowd it with things and accomplishments. It tends to puff us up a little bit and maybe get in the way of what the Lord is trying to do in our lives. Think about David. King David, he was a tremendous warrior. He was a general. He was a leader. He was a successful businessman. A very skilled marksman. A gifted writer. David was so successful that people sang songs about him. They said Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his ten thousands. Think about, and in fact it was David's success that really drove Saul crazy and led to his envy. But the one thing that impressed God the most about David was what? It was his heart. It was how much he loved God. It had nothing to do with all of those accomplishments. And so, what I want to encourage you to do as you have success, keep success in check with humility. Keep success in check with humility. Humility is not, it's not lowliness. It doesn't mean that you're a doormat for the world. Humility is simply recognizing the grace and mercy of God. It's understanding that the things that we have been blessed with are not because of us. It's because of the Lord. It's because the Lord has willed it and given us what we need. This was a quote I found from a preacher here. It says this. It says, "One's devotion to God tends to dwindle as one becomes more successful. Our piety does not keep pace with our purse. Absorption within bounty makes one forgetful of the giver." And I hope, if anything, as we have spent time together, graduates and really teens from years and years back, that those times we've spent growing in the Lord, those times we've pulled away and found that quiet time, that is a time to humble yourself, to pull away and realize that I didn't do this. It was God. But I have no doubt you'll be successful. The second thing is selfishness. Selfishness, it shrinks your heart to the point where there is only room for you. Selfishness shrinks your heart to the point where there's only room for you. And even more dangerously, what it does is it alienates you from the support of others. You can do this yourself. You got this. That's what selfishness moves you into. A trend that I'm starting to see among young people is this idea that I don't need church anymore. I can do life. I've got this. I think just even over the last few days and some of the events that have happened, especially with Ricky's passing, I think we have seen that a church body is necessary. We have to have that. We have to have that support and love. And so we can't be selfish. In Acts 13:22, God said of David here, he says, "I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do everything I want him to do." Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, he says that God has prepared work in advance for us to do. And the way that you combat selfishness is through service. You combat selfishness through service. You find ways to get in there and to help others. I often will ask teenagers, when have you felt closest to God? You know, you can kind of go back. Some will say during devotionals, but almost the majority will say when we were in Haiti, when we were in Mexico, when we were serving, when we were doing something outside of ourselves. I will never forget, and really probably one of the times I felt closest to God was a time we went to Juarez, Mexico, and I think Sheely started to smile like, I know this story. And there was a little boy named Alejandro who we were building a house for his family, and every day we showed up on that work site, a family of seven crawled out of an old Ford Astro van, kind of looked like the one that the Reeves used to drive, but they lived in that van, and we were building a house for them, and so we'd show up on the work site, and they would come out of that van, and little Alejandro, who was probably 6, 7, if I dropped a nail, he had it up and in my hand before I could turn around. I mean, he followed me everywhere. Toward the end of the week, I gave him a little toy. It was one of those little airplanes that you get at Cracker Barrel that you kind of put the rubber band on, you spin it, and you know, he played with it for about 3 or 4 minutes and it broke. And I thought, oh no. He didn't blink an eye. He took it and he sticks it down in the ground, twirls the thing, and lets it shoot out of a pile of sand. And I began to just weep. It just came over me that here I am trying to give him this gift, but yet it was all about the service. It was about the family and everybody together. And that week when we handed them the keys to their house, I don't think I've ever felt closer to God than that moment. It would definitely be in my top three for sure. And so getting outside of ourselves, doing something for someone else, that will combat selfishness in your life. And you need to find a regular way to serve. The men doing the mulch yesterday, jumping in anywhere at church. Many of these teens have been helping in WOW and Bible classes, have helped at Fusion Day Camp, have spent money to go spend a week in West Virginia in hot, hot sun and scrape and paint houses. And all of those things, those are the things that will guard your heart. Those are the things that will keep your heart moving in the right direction. Another way that God tries to attack the heart is sin. You know, sin really does harden our heart to the things of God. And the truth is, we're all sinners. I mean, we all have things that we struggle with. Sin is pervasive. It can get in there and it can take root. And the only way to really get rid of that is through repentance. King David was no exception to this. I mean, we know the stories of adultery and sending Uriah on the front lines to die and all these things. He was a great sinner, but he was also a great repenter. Throughout Scripture, throughout the Psalms, we see David going and repenting before the Lord. And in 2 Samuel 12:13, he says, I have sinned against the Lord. In Psalm 51, he's lamenting over the situation with Uriah, and he says, surely I was sinful from birth. Create in me a clean what? Heart. It was all about his heart. And so this is encouraging to me and hopefully to you that, man, even with sin, we can have a heart for God. Even with sin, we can have a heart for God. And so repentance is the thing that helps us. And repentance is not just, it's just not feeling sorry for your sin. Repentance is literally means to turn away from, to move in a different direction. In James, we're told that if we confess our sins one to the other, then we will be healed. There have been times in my life where I've struggled in sin. And that sin has, it stopped me from talking to God. As if God didn't know what I was struggling with. But it created distance. It hardened my heart. Get rid of that sin. Repent of it. Find someone you can be accountable with and talk to. David prayed, create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. That concept of being steadfast, it's never giving up. It's a continual spirit in moving that direction. And then lastly, stress. Stress can destroy your heart. I don't know how many of you guys deal with stress. Raise your hand if you deal with stress. Okay, I'm just curious. I mean, I don't know if I was the only one that was up here stressed out at the moment. Stress can break your heart. And really what it does, it places this unnecessary demand on your heart. It doesn't have to be there. And over time, it can really, really destroy your relationship with God. And so what do? It's one of these things, and I say this often with the teens, it's so hard to move things from our heads to our hearts. We can think them, but the way you combat stress is with trust. It's trust that, you know what, I'm not in control. God is. David composed a song that began like this in 2 Samuel 22, verses 1 through 4. It says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer and my God, my mountain where I seek refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I was saved from my enemies. Can you imagine the amount of stress that laid on King David? It had to have been tremendous. And what did he do? It's almost like David's philosophy throughout life was, I pray, I trust, and I keep moving. I pray, I trust, and I keep moving. And so graduates, as you think about some of the excitement, but I'm sure a little bit of anxiety, as you think about the next few months especially, trust God. Humble yourselves. Find ways to serve. Repent of your sin. And get the support that you need from a loving church and a loving group of people wherever the Lord leads you. I want to close with this verse. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 say this. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. Everything. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God and the knowledge of God. Okay, this is one of those humility moments here, and the knowledge of God, because it doesn't matter how successful we are, how smart we are, God's still smarter. And the knowledge of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And so, seniors, guard your hearts. Look for opportunities to cultivate a heart for God.